Chris.
Marcus.
We are back. It's a little pocket awareness. You guys don't know what to do. Follow us on Twitter, ALPA underscore QB1. Instagram, ALPA underscore QB1. Also, follow us on Twitter at the March on NFL for me, at King Manelos for Chris. Also, hit it up on Facebook too, a little pocket awareness. And of course, subscribe everywhere, iTunes and Spotify. Chris, we're going to finish up our quarterback rankings. All right. I don't feel bad about being as late with this because the Ringer just dropped theirs yesterday. So we're good. So we're in a good spot here. that means we could do this, right? So, you know, we can drop the quarterback rankings. You know,
preseason was preseason. Preseason was preseason.
We don't care. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Just get everybody healthy. And thank God my team made it through preseason healthy.
Oh, my team made the preseason healthy, but now we got a hostage situation or something, or just a lockout.
Yeah, dude, that was pretty wild to see. I mean,
damn.
Your boy can't get into the facility, huh? It is. It's totally Josh McDaniel.
You know it is, bro. It's like, I don't know what to. And you can't say that. People get mad at me on Twitter. Like, what do you mean? You played on Josh? I'm like,
yeah.
He's the coach. So, bro.
That dude wants complete and utter control over everything.
That you do, yeah.
He thinks he's Bill Belichick.
You're not, bro. You're like 17 and 28, bro, or something like that. You're not Bill Belichick. I'm here to tell you that. But anyways, Chris, just get into the quarterback list. I mean, that's what we want to get into. Let's just do it.
Yeah.
Before I get into some Raiders rants here. But let's just do it. We finished off 20 through 11, right? Was that Russell Wilson? Should I just do the whole list from the top?
Yeah, running from the top, the names really quickly from 32. I mean, it's really not 32 because you don't do the rookies.
Yeah, with the rookies, and we got 29. Howe, Love, Mayfield 27, Ritter 26, Purdy 25, Pickett 24, Garoppolo 23, Mac Jones 22, Tannehill 21, Russell Wilson 20, Justin Fields 19, Daniel Jones 18, Kyler Murray 17, Tua 16, Carr 15, 14, Geno Smith, and then Jared Goff at 13, and then Stafford at 12, and then Deshaun Watson at 11. So, I guess I'm higher, you know.
10 through 1.
So 10 is Kirk Cousins.
God, can you just say Matt Stafford instead?
No, I'm going Kirk Cousins here. Kirk Cousins, I thought he played pretty well last year, man. It's probably one of his better seasons. It's not in the stats. See, that's the thing. Like, before, he had the great stats, and everybody's like, oh, my God, Kirk Cousins. But this year, he didn't have great stats, but he had better films. See, it's interesting how that works. Well, you know, he still shows some anticipation. I'm like, are you anticipating, Kirk? Uh-oh. What's happening? You know, he has some good anticipation throws, but, you know, sometimes you just get a Kirk. That's still in there. We saw that in the playoffs. It was like the 4th and 5 throw. I mean, it's the playoffs, dog. You can't.
The check down? The check down?
Yeah, you got to throw that ball up, dog. I don't care. It's the playoffs, man.
Yeah, no problem throwing that ball up against Buffalo.
Yeah. What's the –
And then again,
Buffalo, there was one guy. See, that's the thing. He's Kirk Cousins. There's one guy in Buffalo. There was two guys over there. You can't throw into a double team. He explained on quarterbacks, bro. You can't throw into a double team.
Yes, you can, Kirk. I like off-field Kirk way better than I like on-the-field Kirk.
Way better.
Because on-the-field Kirk, I mean – I just – his sideline – he's not a sideline quarterback in my opinion. Like, he didn't come off as, like, an actual, like, quarterback leader on quarterbacks. You know, watching him through the sidelines, you're seeing Thielen come to him all the time, and they did their best to only show the good interactions on quarterback because there's some stuff that did not get shown.
Oh, man. Jefferson. Jefferson wasn't as frustrated this year with him. But, you know, in 2020,
Thielen was.
Yeah, Thielen always has been. You know, Diggs was all the time, too. That's why Diggs is gone. He kept, you know, being so frustrated and kept voicing it. Right?
Yeah.
because they get frustrated with Kirk. Because I don't know. I mean, but I think he's more aggressive. I think Kevin O'Connell works really well with him. I think he understands a little bit. You saw that in the quarterback show too, a little bit there, that they kind of work together a little bit, pretty good there. So, I mean, that's how it works for me. I think they can make it happen there if they have some pretty good offensive players there, and he can work that second part of that offense. They can make it do. But, hey, it is what it is.
Well, he got his butt kicked last season, and you heard it in quarterback. He was constantly, just getting smoked by defenders. So I don't know that the offensive line is that much improved to where he's not going to have problems again. And that running game took a hit by losing Dalvin Cook. So it's going to be an interesting year for him in Minnesota.
Yeah, it's going to be,
year of his contract too, right?
Yeah, I mean, when he's going to play in San Francisco next year, and then, you know, he might, you know, get that ring, bro. If I finally get a ring for Kirk, goes to San Francisco. Wow. He'll do work in that offense, bro. I watched that offense just doing Jimmy Garoppolo stuff. He would do work in that offense.
Dude, I didn't even think of that.
Yeah, man. It's the perfect setup. I mean, unless Purdy has, like, a really good year. I mean, that's what it's on. If Brock Purdy, like, if they go, like, let's say they go 10-7 or something like that, and then Kirk Cousins is available, like, Purdy doesn't play, like, fantastic, to be honest. Because even with Kyle Shanahan, I think Purdy has to play, like some MVP type of football for him not even to look at Kirk. Like, Purdy has the ball. Because I really feel like Purdy is a place over, because they know Kirk Cousins is about to have a contract, and they know the Vikings, they're not going to pay him again.
No, they're not. Yeah, they don't want to. They don't want to. But San Francisco's got trouble on its own. They can't pay Bosa right now.
Come on, it's a quarterback. Where is the defensive ends? You can find one of those. But a quarterback who can run my system? Exactly. How many of those are on the earth? You know what I'm saying? That's what Kyle Shanahan's thinking. And here comes Kirk. I'm telling you, it is destiny. I don't know how this is going to work. He wanted him in 2017, they traded for Jimmy Garoppolo. So who even knows if that was John Lynch or Kyle Shanahan? Because Kyle Shanahan would have had Kirk Cousins in 2018, mm-hmm, if they didn't trade for Jimmy. That's always an interesting dynamic, because coming out now, they don't like each other. I don't know why I'm talking about, but this is the future. We're talking, check us out.
We're excited about the new year.
Right? If Kirk Cousins signs here, that's what's going to happen. You guys will be like, come back to this, and this is a important rant. But Kyle Shanahan and Jimmy Garoppolo didn't like each other. I think I'm learning this, like, as these guys talk about it, and like, there is like a beef type of thing with them. So I don't know if he picked him, but Kirk, you know,
as his guy,
great guy, man.
As his guy from Washington.
And he's going to do what Kyle says right there.
Yes, he will.
Boom. And the thing is with Kirk, the difference is that Jimmy, he can't get a second read. Jimmy gets a second read, just his feet start shaking. He's like, ooh, you know, his feet start shaking. Oh, second read, no. Kirk's gonna at least get to the second. You know, he shakes at the third. You know, he's gonna start shaking at the third.
He shakes at the third.
You know, Jimmy, he's second, he starts shaking. Kirk, you know, Kirk, you're at least getting to the second, so that's why Kyle's gonna cook. Because I'm telling you, I've been looking, watching this offense, and there's on the opposite side, somebody's always wide open. So if somebody's a little bit over here, if you get to here, you're going to hit somebody. And that's all Kyle Shanahan needs, is a guy who can get to here.
And get through those reads. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Kirk can get through the reads. He just holds the ball forever. So you saw some anticipation.
Yeah, the film was a lot better, bro. He looked pretty impressive. He looked pretty impressive.
And he's still not clutch, though. That's all I know.
Oh, I mean, but he was clutch this year, though. He was clutch last year. So maybe he took a step there. We'll see. He's a big hashtag. We'll see, because I mean, he might be like a veteran, like to have that kind of like good veteran end to his career. Like he's just, especially if he goes to San Francisco, I think that's gonna be.
Dude, well, let's talk about this coming year. He's in Minnesota. He's not in San Francisco. he's gonna do the same thing that he's done his entire career there. He doesn't win on the road. Last year was a fluke. Didn't they win like 10 games by less than a touchdown last year?
Yes.
So that was that's a fluke season, and we still knew that he was going to lose to the Giants in the playoffs at home.
Which means, Chris, that's why he's going to San Francisco. I'm telling you, I appreciate you.
We knew that. Great we both knew that he's not going to be in Minnesota after this season. But if he makes any type of progression as a quarterback this year, it's not going to come with a win-loss record that looks anything like what we saw last season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, they're gonna win like 7 games.
Yeah, I have them third in the division this coming season. They won like
7 games. Yeah, but so I'm saying, but he still might play well. The defense is probably going to be garbage, and right. And
I don't know. They got two of your guys this year, right? Byron Murphy and Patrick Peterson.
Patrick Peterson is the Steelers now.
Is he?
Yeah, he's in Pittsburgh.
Maybe it's because Byron came in.
Dog, they let Za'Darius Smith go for some reason.
Well, he's always injured, bro.
Did he get injured last year? He was injured last year.
Are you sure?
I think so. I'm not a Vikings guy. I mean,
they don't have talk about the team that doesn't.
Vikings
have
fans are mad about it, so I'm just the Vikings guy that I see on Twitter. They're pissed. So
Packer fans knew, like, dude doesn't stay on the field. We paid him too much money. We had young guys coming up. They don't have young guys coming up in Minnesota to replace. So I guess that makes sense why they're pissed. But yeah, it's going to be a tough year to be a Vikings fan.
Yeah, they're going to win like 7 or 6 games. It's going to happen.
I agree with you.
All right. Next up, Dak Prescott is number 9. We got Dak here at number 9. I think Dak's solidified himself as a top 10 quarterback. You know, I think his film was interesting this year because – you know, what I always used to talk about is how aggressive he always has been. I think this year we saw that he doesn't, the guys weren't helping him. So there's, you know, he's going to be aggressive. He's going to try to anticipate that window. And then, you know, if it bounces off CeeDee Lamb's chest, I mean, he's going to get picked off because it's in a tight window, right? Mm-hmm. If it bounces off Michael Gallup's hands, it's in a tight window. So it's going to get picked off. And that's what you saw a lot of. So that's what a lot of people are like, oh, it's the drops and stuff like that. But I think it's a mixture of both of him. Like, he's going to attack those windows. That's what he does. That's what, when he was playing really well, when he was hitting those windows, is what made him kind of make people feel like that maybe he could be a top 5 quarterback. And, you know, where I had him like 6 one year when he was doing this. So we're not seeing that type of player right now because I don't think he has the receivers like he used to. He doesn't have like Cooper and all those guys. And CeeDee Lamb's really good. But I think CeeDee Lamb at times has some hand issues when Dak throws into a tight window, can you trust CeeDee Lamb to always come down with that ball? And if he doesn't, it's going to be a turnover. And, you know, that's how he plays. You can't stop him from playing that way. I still think he plays really well as a field general. I think he's a guy that's going to be a NFL quarterback. He's like 38. I would say he was good last year, but I still think he could be a really good quarterback. You know, I just think he didn't have the luck that he was having the past couple of years. Because, like, there was this one throw a couple of years ago to Amari Cooper where, like
– bro, you've been talking about this, like, right, one throw for 3 seasons.
But that's what I'm saying. But this past year, that throw was picked off. That's the difference. I don't want people to say that. They're trying to protect him. Some Cowboys fan got mad at me one time because I told him he throws in tight windows all the time. Oh, whatever, bro. You don't watch film. Don't talk to me about this. I don't watch film like crazy, but go ahead.
It's going to be – this is a prove-it year for our friend, Mr. Prescott. This is a prove-it year. It's been a prove-it year ever since he got his $40 million a year contract. And he hasn't, in my opinion, been worth the money that they paid him. And this year you got CeeDee, who is the stud, and then you still got Gallup there, but they brought in Brandon Cooks. And Brandon Cooks is a 1,000-yard receiver every single season of his career. Uh-huh. And Brandon Cooks has not played with a quarterback in years. Mm-mm. I think he got, what, like 2 seasons with Drew Brees, 3?
He had Deshaun Watson. He played Deshaun Watson.
What, for 1 season?
Yeah, I mean, he still got 1,000 yards that year.
He got his 1,000. So Dak's got a job to do here to keep Brandon Cooks on his 1,000-yard pace. And I will blame it solely on Dak Prescott if Brandon Cooks doesn't get 1,000 yards this year.
No, Brandon Cooks gets 1,000 yards. So CeeDee Lamb, Dak Prescott's going to produce, man. You know he is. They're going to score a lot of points. It's just, what is he going to – he's a playoff guy at this point. Well, that's what I mean. That's his narrative.
Number 10 and number 9 on your list are both not playoff guys. I would rather have seen Goff and Matthew Stafford in this 10 and 9. Hey, Goff got to a Super Bowl, bro.
But they're not better quarterbacks.
I would rather
see those
two Super Bowl guys. They're better teams. The Cowboys can't give Dak Prescott more weapons.
Last year, you're right. I think last year they with that defense, they should have won. They should have won something. They should at least beat San Francisco. But San Francisco's tough. The defense San Francisco has is really tough.
They're at home.
But Dak made some stupid decisions that game.
Home playoff games.
That was bad. No, that wasn't a home game. That was a road game. They won their home playoff game last year.
No, they lose at home to San Francisco last year?
No, that was 2021.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. So in three years, he's won one playoff game.
He's got three playoff wins, I think, in his career.
How long's he been in the league now?
2016.
Three playoff wins.
He's more than some guys, man. He's got more than Blake Bortles. I mean, that's what
that's what earns you $40 million a year.
Hey, it got Daniel Jones $40 million. So, that's what you say. Dak's not worth it. I mean, Daniel Jones is dead.
No, Daniel Jones is absolutely not worth it.
But Dak is if Daniel Jones makes $40 million. See, it balanced out. The market balanced it out, Chris. It balanced it out. At the time, you're like, that's crazy. But then here comes Daniel Jones, and he balanced out the market. It's and now Dak's like,
well, I mean, Dak's
that's a pretty good number for Dak.
Dak's gotta do it now because now they brought in Trey Lance behind him.
Oh, whatever. So I'm gonna hear about that.
You know Jay will give those reins over to
Trey Lance he needs to go to the XFL so he can play some games.
To actually play some football? Yeah. You're not wrong. Yeah, you're not wrong. He hasn't played football even in college.
No. All right. Number 8. My boy Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence is at number 8. Now, Trevor Lawrence is basically at number 8 because how he played like after week 8. I mean, after week 8, he was just ridiculous.
He balled out, man.
He was really good in the offense, very clutch throws. His arm is terrific. I think he makes really good reads of the field. He sees the field really well now. I think that's what aspect of that he's doing. He's super aggressive, and he wants to test those windows, and he does it really well. And you can tell he anticipates. He does a lot of great things, and it's gonna be interesting to see how he grows in Doug Peterson's offense. With some of the receivers he has, and adding in Calvin Ridley, adding in Evan Engram still over there. Yep. He's still the offensive line is pretty decent. It's not the greatest offensive line in the world, but they make it work, and he's athletic enough, and he has a lot of good pocket. So okay, we're ready to get to that. It's because this is a weird conversation with him, but he does handle the pocket pretty well, and he uses his legs. He can use his legs to make things move and make things go. There's a lot to love about Trevor Lawrence. I mean, it's just the Ravens game, man. There's some crazy throws that he was doing against the Ravens. Mm-hmm. I think I even posted some of those. I mean, it was ridiculous what he was doing in that game and that comeback. And then, of course, the game against the Cowboys are ridiculous throws. And, again, in the Chargers game, there was some crazy stuff. But the reason I'm just a little weary about Trevor Lawrence and if he'll ever become that guy, I just still think he's a little bit of a turnover machine and not in that's aggressive. Oh, you can tone that down a little bit. It's the fumbles, in my opinion. I think he has
we've talked about that. Yeah, he gets
fumble.
He loses the ball in the pocket.
Itis. It is bad. It was like that in college too. It was something I noticed in college. Like every time you run and somebody hit him hard, the ball come out. And it's like that in NFL. So all you gotta do is hit him hard. That ball's coming out, bro. Well, hit him hard. Ball's coming out.
I hope that's something that if it's something that you've noticed, then you know it's something that an NFL team has noticed. Yeah, so I'm hoping that Doug's got that wrapped up here.
Yeah, because how many turnovers? I'm gonna look this up. How many turnovers do you have?
I'm going to focus this season on how he throws the football, where that ball starts. Does he have both of his hands on it? Is it tighter to his chest? How loose is he with it? Where is the throw starting? Is he dropping the ball to his hip? Is he keeping it up by his shoulder? How long is his throwing motion? That's what I'm going to focus on when it comes to dealing with these fumbles. That's where that all starts.
So, yeah.
If we compare his mechanics to what it was last season and how he starts off this year with his mechanics, that's where these fumbling issues are going to either disappear or continue. So that's what I'm watching for. I'm very, very, very high on Trevor Lawrence. I would almost say 8 is too high on your order for me. Now, I get your hesitation.
Me low or
no, high. Low or high? Like eight is too high. Like I would maybe even start him in the 6, but I have some bias against some of the quarterbacks that you're going to be listing here, and that's probably why I'm more in the 6 range than you are with him being in the 8 range. I drafted him on all 4 of my fantasy football teams. He is my starting quarterback. My fantasy football life will live or die with Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, I don't know if that is like a hold of football. I don't know if it's a hold of football thing, Chris. Because you know what happened a lot in college is when he was doing like the zone reads and he was just running the football. So
is it more the rub with the running back or is it?
No, it's
after.
It's after. It's like when he it'll be like when he's scrambling, okay? Because he has 21 fumbles in the past. 2 years. So he's fumbled 21 times.
Well, how many times did he lose? How many times did he not recover that fumble?
Where's fumbles lost? Fumbles lost. Let's see here. How many times did he not recover the fumble? I know this year is 9, but I'm trying to look for. The previous year is 5 because he threw how many interceptions? He had 23 turnovers. So he threw
14.
Yeah, so 5. Mm-hmm. Fumbles lost.
14 times he's lost the fumble.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. When he fumbles, it's definitely gone.
It's an issue. That's why I don't have him higher. To be honest, if he didn't fumble, I might have had him higher, Chris.
Daniel Jones fumbled the ball like crazy, but he got lucky and he fell on it. Patrick Mahomes should have thrown interceptions like crazy, but the cornerbacks dropped the ball. So I'm gonna say it's dumb luck. Of the 21 times that he fumbled, 14 of them got recovered by the defense. Are you serious?
Mm-hmm.
What's that, 66% of the time?
Something like that, yeah.
Daniel Jones and Patrick Mahomes have the complete opposite luck when it comes to their fumbles and potential interceptions. No, this is dumb luck is what I'm going to put that on. But you're right, it's an issue. It's an issue because it happens more frequently than not. I'm going to say that percentage goes the other way. Yep, I'm definitely. I would have Trevor Lawrence higher than or lower. What you do?
Yeah. Trevor. Yeah. Having him 8, I probably would have him higher, but like I said, the fumbles is too much for me, man. I was like, I look forward to him in the top 10. So
I look forward. Yeah, it's good to have him in the top 10, but I look forward to him to being in your top 5 next year as his fumbles lost number decreases based on luck alone.
All right, we'll see, man. We'll see. All right, so number 7 is Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts, you know, Chris is going to disagree with Jalen being this high. I guess that's
you know what?
Chris can go to the Ringer. They got him at 10. The Ringer has him at 10. If you might agree with that one.
I agree with you that he's outside the top 5. I like where you have him.
All right, cool. Thank you. See, I appreciate you, Chris. I thought Jalen got a whole lot better as a quarterback this year. I thought he saw the field a whole lot better. I thought he a lot of things that he wasn't doing year 1, year 2. You can see he had a huge step in that offense, right?
Sure.
And, I think he anticipates really well because, you know, he has to because he doesn't have a big arm. So I think he understands that. He throws a great ball. I think he's one of the most accurate quarterbacks in football. And that's kind of what keeps him from being like what I would say, you know,
Justin Fields
falling off or yeah. Well, I think Justin Fields could be, I mean, yeah, basically, because he is, he's consistently accurate quarterback. So the ball is going to be at a nice place, and it's going to be catchable, and it's going to be a nice ball for.
And he gets it out of his hands fast. That's my favorite part about it.
Yeah, right. And so there's a lot of things that he can do, and you know he could add into the run game as well. So I think the arrow is up with him too, because he just has the intangibles. I think that's a big thing.
Yes.
He's a leader. Those guys love playing for him. He's one of the best NFL leaders out there, and you know he's going to put it out there. You know he talked about how the fumble cost him the game. I mean, which it did, but you know he talked about that just being fair. But I said, you know, he kept playing, and I think he kind of gave himself confidence. I think too. I think going to the Super Bowl and going toe to toe with Patrick Mahomes is going to give him extreme confidence. Like he probably feels like he's the number two quarterback in the NFL, and just being that close to beating him, and you didn't do it with your legs. Like, it wasn't like he ran for 100 yards or something like that. He threw with his arm. I think that's going to give him a lot of confidence. I think he's going to have a huge year. I think he's going to have another big year. He's got great weapons. There's no reason for him not to. He's best offensive line in the league.
That roster, dude, is insane. Absolutely insane on both sides of the ball. I cannot believe that they've been able to put a roster together like that. Actually, it makes sense because Jalen's still in his rookie deal.
Yeah.
And they're going to have to pay him soon. And once they do, all that talent is disappearing. They're going to have to pay Devonta. They're going to have to – I mean, they got rid of Miles Sanders because they couldn't afford to pay him. They got Swift on a prove-it deal, which is insane. So it's like that's one of the best GMs in football, period. That roster is incredible. The intangibles are huge for Hurts. You're completely right. He is made for this offensive system. He gets the ball out fast, and anywhere from -5 to 10 yards down the field, he is a great quarterback. And they don't ask him to do anything more than that. Occasionally, he'll throw a jump ball to A.J. Brown, and because it's A.J. Brown, he'll come down with it. And Devonta's so fast that he can just – throw the ball basically once the snap starts, and Devonta will still track it down because he's so fast and burn a corner at the same time. He's in the perfect situation, the absolute most perfect situation, and that's why we are seeing him flourish.
Yeah, I think the offensive line has a big deal with it, because I still think his presence is still a little iffy. I think I would just say that's a little iffy. And he has fumble issues too, but if you don't touch him, I mean – it won't make a difference, but
exactly.
You saw what happened in the Super Bowl. That's what I'm talking about with these guys trying to be Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes ain't gonna fumble in the Super Bowl. You can't fumble against Patrick Mahomes in the AFC Championship game, Trevor Lawrence. And that's what you know. You can't do it. All right, let's keep it moving. Let's get it going. We're at six now, right? You're at six, Chris.
Six.
Lamar Jackson is six. Okay. So we're going with Lamar. I thought he had a pretty good year throwing the ball last year. And, of course, what he does all the time is, kill it with the run game. I think how they're going to open it up a little bit with the passing game, especially with Odell Beckham. And then, I think, Bateman's still over there. And they got somebody else, Zay Flowers.
Isaiah Likely and Mark Andrews. They have the passing firepower to have an incredible offense. I like you having them here at six. Well, and that's their offensive coordinator.
I like him
here at six. And the reason that I don't like him as a top 10 quarterback right now is he still struggles outside the numbers. And his deep ball was bad last year. He was not on the same page. And I'm going to bring his contract situation as a reason as to why he stayed away in the offseason. I don't think he built a rapport with his receivers to be able to time up that deep ball pass.
Well, maybe. I think it's a little bit it was an interesting film watch, because when you had Rashad Bateman on the field, he looked like an MVP. But then when he had those guys off the field,
at the beginning of the year.
Exactly. And when he had Rashad Bateman, he looked like an MVP. when he didn't have him, he looked a little different. So, I mean, so that there's an aspect to that. You know, I think he just needs help outside. Because, yeah, is he the most accurate guy outside? No, he's not. No. Right? He still struggles. But if you have a guy who can erase a bad throw, I mean,
and they got, you know, just that in Odell Beckham. That's who he did.
Yeah, Odell Beckham, right? Or
is he too old now?
I don't know. We'll see. No, Odell Beckham got hands though. It don't matter. He got hands and balance. I mean, he might not have the speed that he used to. But he got the hand and balance. And he can still get open. I mean,
do you think he's like an Anquan Boldin?
Who?
Odell? Does he fill that Anquan Boldin role that for the Joe Flacco years?
Yeah, he's gonna have a big year, bro. He's gonna have a big year.
That offense is gonna be very interesting. They're gonna open up the middle of the field for Mark Andrews. You're gonna see Zay Flowers get. He might be one of the candidates for Offensive Rookie of the Year.
I don't know if Zay Flowers will get that many targets because Bateman's still there, right?
Bateman is still there. He's going to be the opposite side of Odell. He's got great
rapport with Jackson.
You're right, but there's not a lot of places that you can like double team here. You're not going to be able to double team Mark Andrews anymore.
I know, but I think Mark Andrews' targets need to go down a little bit. So I would expect that.
Oh yeah, right? I expect that too. But
it's not Greg Roman, and I mean, you know, Greg Roman, you throw to Vernon Davis, you throw to Mark Andrews, it's the same thing. So it's gonna be a little different that way. So I think they're gonna start. I think they're gonna try to throw more outside, and I think they're gonna, you know, use Bateman if he can stay healthy, because that's Bateman's problem. He can't.
Yeah,
stay healthy.
That is his problem.
So if he can stay healthy, and I think they're going to be pretty dangerous. But, you know, Lamar Jackson, man, the legs are still there. So
And J.K. Dobbins is going to put together.
He's got to stay healthy, though, too.
He's all the way back. I think he's all the way back. I think last year he was like 85, 90%. He was still trying to come back from his injury. He was mad that he didn't get the ball a lot more. He was pissed. He said it out loud to the press. Like, dude – wants the ball in his hand, and I think they're gonna get heavy with the run to start the year.
Yeah. What they do with Stetson Bennett, man, it's a little Stetson Bennett run plays. You know, get the Stetson Bennett stuff going. He's gonna be Stetson Bennett out in Georgia, right? Ted Mockin. But yeah, Lamar Jackson, he's still special, bro. I think he's.
Oh yeah, agreed. I think he'll be back in the top five next year.
Oh yeah, for sure. All right. Enough Lamar. Let's get into the guy who.
Let's get into the top five.
I hate this guy. I just wish.
Oh, you got Herbert here.
Yeah, you already know, right?
Yeah,
Herbert. Justin Herbert is at five. I got a love hate relationship with Justin Herbert. I just don't like the guy. I just watch this film. I just don't like you for some reason. I got beef with you, man. I don't know what it is. But it's weird. See, this is what I talk about with Phil, man. Stats. I thought he played better. This is why I was mad. I got to the third game.
Stats.
Yeah, I was mad about that. So I was just mad watching a film like, oh, you played better than your stats did. So I'm upset about that. And you know, because the offense sucked. But, I mean, he did it pretty well. And, you know, he was anticipating a lot better. I thought he was a lot more accurate than the years before. You know, a lot of his throws. I mean, you got to be fair. He didn't have a lot of help last year. You kind of drag them a little bit.
He dealt with some injuries with those wide receivers of his.
Yeah, I mean, he dealt with some injuries. He got through it, you know, and he probably played injured all year, right? It's just with him.
His ribs, right? His ribs were all jacked up.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, they're jacked up all year. But, you know, he with him, he's those cerebral quarterbacks. And we talk about, you know, we talk about Kirk Cousins and, you know, how he's cerebral. And, you know, Derek Carr, those type of guys are cerebral quarterbacks where they want to do the right thing and or do what coach tells me to do and all that other thing. I'm soldier man, right? And I think that's his personality. He's not a speak out guy. So he's going to do what the coach tells him. Mm-hmm. And so that happened with Joe Lombardi. I just the offense wasn't good. So it wasn't going to be good. So with Kellen Moore, we'll find out. You know, Kellen Moore has a history of being good.
Big hashtag, we'll see. Big hashtag, we'll see.
Yeah, but, you know, Herbert, he's still conservative. No, nobody wants to admit that. People, they're trying not to. You know, I saw some tidbits of it a little bit, but, you know, we got to the Herbert's conservative thing yet, but we'll see. Everybody swears he's going to be throwing downfield. No, he is a calculated throwing downfield guy, right? So it's going to be calculated and based on what he thinks.
He's got two downfield guys now. He's got two of them, Mike Williams and Quentin Johnson.
Yeah.
Those are both downfield guys. You can have Keenan Allen running across the middle and being your possession guy and Eckler out of the backfield. I mean, those are four very athletic and solid men playing wide receiver.
I don't think we're going to see Quentin Johnson that much. I think Josh Palmer is going to be out there a lot more. Yeah, yeah. So you're going to see Mike Williams, Keenan Allen. I think you're going to see the same guys. Josh Palmer is still a really good player over there. So he's going to be out there more than Quentin Johnson. I think they're going to try to, you know,
bring Quentin Johnson.
Yeah. And don't even believe yourself, Chris, that he's going to start throwing deep. Don't even start that thought process. It's not going to happen. It's been 4 years. Was this year? Was this year four?
Yeah, I think this is year four. That makes sense. Year four.
So yeah, he played three seasons. Uh-huh. It is what it is, man. He's gonna throw to Eckler, man.
Yes, he is.
Oh, so there's cover two. No, I can't do that. Let me go to Eckler. There you go. He'll give me some yards. Get seven. Let me get seven here.
Dude, I loved cover two. That window between the safety and the corner was my favorite place to throw a football. Give me a seven route. Give me a deep out. I loved putting that ball in that spot between the safety and the corner. That was my favorite, dude.
See, because the joke I would always make is like, what do you mean he doesn't have help? He has Austin Eckler. That's his receiver anyways. Oh. Like this.
That little arrow route right in front of the linebacker.
There's Austin right there. Little choice routes to Austin Eckler. Yeah. But they can mix that in this year. Because think with Kellen Moore, and why Kellen Moore is interested in me is Kellen Moore doesn't have a system. So he just does whatever he wants every week. He kind of just – he thinks he's like Bill Belichick of offensive coordinators.
Yeah.
He like changes.
Changes and every week, yeah.
But it's like tough on your team. I don't know if you could – you know, it's real tough. Like, hey, guys, this week we're going to run the Bill Walsh West Coast offense. All right? So the terminology might change. All right? We're changing the terminology.
Dude, I'd be very interested to be a fly on the wall to see like how he – created the offense and put it in place in the offseason. If you're talking about different parts of your offense because you run a part of the Bill Walsh offense or you run a part of this spread offense, you know, that's a little different to me where you've got this huge playbook that everybody needs to learn, sure. But if you are completely making stuff up and you're putting in brand new stuff every week, that's insane.
That's what they do. He's known for adjusting like That's how
you should play, because we've talked about this like crazy on the show that these defensive coordinators, offensive coordinators, GMs, head coaches, like, this is my system. This is how I run it. I don't care what type of player you are. When I bring you in here, this is what you're going to do. But coach, I suck at cover two. I don't care. Figure it out. Like that kind of drives me absolutely insane. So I would be very, very interested to see. I mean, this is a huge hashtag. We'll see.
So my pushback on that is, which is what I always saw in the Cowboys film, is like the wide receivers messing up, and that's my thing with it. Like, are your guys picking it up?
Smart enough? Yeah. You're gonna see what kind of wide receivers that Keenan Allen and Mike Williams truly are.
Yeah. All right. So next up.
Number four.
I think this one might be a little controversial if I have a four. I got Josh Allen at four. The reason why I have Josh Allen at four.
He digressed last year.
I wouldn't say he digressed. I think he looked the same.
You think he looked the same?
Yeah. I think their offense digressed a lot. I think the offense coordinator wasn't as good. I thought what they want to do. They started to do like the kind of the Urhart Perkins that the Patriots and Josh McDaniels like to run more than like the one that Brian Daboll runs. He runs mm-hmm. a kind of a mixture of, you know, West Coast elements in it, and there's a little bit of a spread offense kind of element. There's kind of mixes, mm-hmm. you know, adding a little bit of new things to it, but the basis of the system is still Earhart Perkins, but there's other things around it that mix in there, right? And I think that this year they went really back to the pure Patriots, New York Giants, Earhart Perkins. And it's the same thing that happens to the Raiders, man. There's just certain plays, certain third down plays. We all know the NFL knows those plays, man. They're going to run your routes for you. You've been running them for years, and it's the same kind of concepts. But I think, you know, he's still a sick quarterback, bro. He does everything you like it. I mean, the bad thing he does is that he is a turnover machine still. He does what he does.
Yes, he is.
Every year. But
I mean, he throws picks.
Take it or leave it. He fumbles too. He's a big fumbler. Big fumble guy too.
Well, that's because he's a big guy, and he thinks that he can – he still thinks he's invincible.
Yeah.
And he doesn't think that a hit really does anything to him.
Yeah, but, you know, and he can be inaccurate at times. Like, there's some games, like, he just shows up.
He's my king of inaccuracy in the NFL right now. Actually, right. No, it's – I don't – well, yeah. You know what? I think he took that title. I think he's the king of the inaccurates.
See, to me, I think that he is just, like, incredible to watch, though. So it was tough for me to even put him – like, I wanted to put him back at two. Like, it's just because, like, technically, like, when he's on, you know, the only quarterback that's better than him is, Patrick. You know, Patrick Mahomes. Yeah. Yeah. When he's on. When Josh Allen's on and – or, you know, or he decides to run or whatever, you know, type of things that he can do, he's just – he could be a unstoppable force. I just think, you know, at times – you know, he can, you know, kind of start bailing, you know, just things. Like sometimes he just doesn't show up.
It's just, he's his own worst enemy.
Yeah. Yeah. But if he shows up, it's a long day for you. I don't know if you're going to win. It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough for you to win that game if he shows up. That's all. I mean, it was tough for Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes had to bring out the heroics, right, when he was on. So, he's Josh Allen's so special quarterback in the NFL. So, but yeah, that's enough of him.
Josh Allen at four.
And then three, I went Aaron Rodgers.
That's you know you've got him higher than everybody else. Everybody went young in their quarterback rankings.
Aaron Rodgers' film was hilarious. Because at the beginning of the year, like he was like just throwing the ball up. And I'm like, what are you doing? And he was just like just tossing the ball up in the air at the time. And I'm like, what is going on? Like the Vikings game was just weird. Like, what are you doing? Like, what are you?
Well,
doing?
They should have won the Vikings game. I blame it on the young receivers. There's a lot of throws that Rodgers had last year that were on the money.
And yeah.
The young guys just didn't come down with it. It was his worst deep ball year of his entire career. I think he was 6 for 40 on the deep ball.
It was awful.
It was awful.
I think he got better as the year went along.
Yes.
And he got more chemistry with those guys.
Yeah, because he wasn't like there during the offseason. So. He didn't play in the preseason. You know, they started week one. The reason that the Packers have been so bad in week one is because it's literally Aaron Rodgers' first game with these kids that he didn't play with at all in the offseason. Like, and that's been the way for the last 3 years.
Yeah.
You know, week one for the Packers the last 3 years was a preseason game every single year. And all these other teams are, like, ready to go for week one. So that's why they looked like crap in week one. And they still, you know, they only lose, like, two more games the rest of the season.
Didn't they lose, like, 35-3 to the Saints?
They got smoked by the Saints. They got smoked in, I think, three of the last four week one game, and I don't think they've won a week one game under Matt LaFleur. And it's because Rodgers never showed up for the offseason. He never put the time in to get on the same page with his guys. The only guy that he was on the same page with was Devontae, and then Devontae's gone, and now he's got nobody he's on the same page with. I mean, it took him a while to get on the same page with Lazard and Cobb even. Like, it was insane.
Yeah. So
it's just week one was always a mess, and Rodgers just never got on the same page with his guys. It took him half the season to get there. And he was Aaron Rodgers because he's still amazing and he deserves to be in the top three. And I'm really pissed off to watch him do what he did this year with coming in with the Jets and taking the pay cut that if he would have done the same things in Green Bay, there's no way that they wouldn't have been in the Super Bowl in one of these last 4 years.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, if he put the time in and came in and do all that stuff. Because, I mean, the end of the year, like, that's what I'm saying, he looked like himself. Like, same crazy throws, same thing, same great reason. It was just amazing to watch the end of the year. But, like, it's like the beginning of the year, like, well, like, what are you doing? But because then, like, Christian Watson, he got, like, good chemistry with Christian Watson, and that's mm-hmm. when he really started mm-hmm. doing it. And Christian Watson scored, like, 10 touchdowns in, like, five
yeah,
games.
Yeah, it was absolutely insane. Like, if he would have done this in the offseason, Watson would have had over 10 touchdowns, and he would have won Rookie of the Year. There's no way it would have been Garrett Wilson. It would have been Christian Watson.
Yeah.
So it's just – it's absolutely insane how incredible he still is in his 40s. It's going to be I need him to play 65% of the snaps. That offensive line scares the hell out of me. He's got Becton, like, under his wing. Have you been watching some of the Hard Knocks? Like, Hard Knocks is just – it's not Hard Knocks. It's Aaron Rodgers.
Like, I know.
It was all about him. And you know what? Rightfully so. He is the quarterback. Like, Patrick Mahomes obviously has turned in, and I know he's your number one. And honestly, I would almost say Rodgers should probably be two and Burrow should be three, because I know that's what you're going with the final rankings here. But like, Aaron Rodgers is that guy. And because of the way that his off seasons went the last few years and all the drama in Green Bay, he didn't get that NFL praise that Patrick Mahomes got. But he is going to hopefully stay healthy. I just need to see 65% of the snaps so we can get that first-round pick. I would ultimately love to see them struggle and get a not make a playoff first-round draft pick so we can trade up and get Marvin Harrison Jr. with our pick. Because then you want to talk about a future at wide receiver with him and Christian Watson. I would be the happiest person in the entire world. That defense is already set with 8 first-round draft picks. Back to Aaron Rodgers. It's going to come down to the offensive line play. We'll see really quickly what kind of Aaron Rodgers shows up. If it's the guy that's throwing the ball out of bounds because he's pissed at his offensive line, or if he's holding the ball too long because he's trying to get creative, or if he's this, like, he looks rejuvenated, he acts rejuvenated, he's doing things to try and make the team better. I think he gets the ball out fast. I think that we see a Aaron Rodgers resurgence, and the numbers that he put up last year, I think statistically he was like the 22nd best quarterback, which is, in Aaron Rodgers standards, miserable. Mm-hmm. I think he puts top 10 numbers up.
Yes. And Rodgers is a ball. He's good. He's going to play that well. He's going to be.
I agree.
This is my prediction. I think he wins MVP. I think he's going to get this.
Wow.
MVP Aaron Rodgers, and they lose the division around because they're the Jets, and he's Aaron Rodgers. It's the perfect mixture. It's the perfect mixture. The Jets and Aaron Rodgers in the division around.
I'm good with that. Because that's still 2 first round picks, and you can package it with like a few other late round picks to try and sneak into the top 3.
Yeah, man.
I'm good with that.
There'll be a lot of good quarterbacks next draft, man. Shedeur Sanders came out there as bomb.
Oh, bro. He's not going to be able to go next year, is he?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's a
sophomore.
He's a junior.
Is he? I thought he was a sophomore.
You know, he played at JSU 2 years.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. He's a junior. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't want a quarterback. I want Jordan Love to play well. I want Marvin.
That's me. That's me. That was me talking saying that, you know. It's like, hey, we might pick at 7, bro. Shedeur Sanders. He might be there at 7.
He definitely could be.
He could be there at 7.
Yes, he could. All right. So
we know your top 2. Top 2, Joe Burrow. And first start with Joe.
That one.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I can get into this with Joe. I mean, Joe Burrow, what I love about this year with Joe Burrow is that everything I talked about bad about him last year, he did better. So it was like he shut me up. He was like, you know what, Marcus? I watch your podcast. I looked for every podcast. It's like he Googled like Joe Burrow podcast, and he looked for it. He read it. Like,
episodes
about
Joe Burrow.
you think I can't beat Too high. I did do a breakdown of him too. He might have Googled that, where I was kind of, you know, talking about him that beat too high, man. Maybe he was mad about that. And I was kind of showing him missing guys. Because he even started the first two games, everything I talked about, Chris, the other teams did, and he was playing bad. Right?
Yeah, remember he started the year. He struggled at the beginning of the year. I remember that.
Yeah, because the teams were playing too high.
We were on him.
And how he used to be is, you know, first read and I make a play. Okay, that's really how he was in 2021 when they Super Bowl. Make a read, first read, I make a play. And that's what was happening against the Cowboys, and what was happening against the Steelers is that he go first read, make a play. But if he like, and he has like this amazing pocket presence with his bad offensive line. Like, I mean, his pocket presence is nuts because he just, the way he can move in the pocket, he has that old school pocket mobility, right? Uh-huh. So he's able to move in the pocket, but when he would move in the pocket, his eyes would go down with it. Mm-hmm. And that was a problem. But after week three, his eyes would stay up when he moved in the pocket, and he'd start picking people apart just like he should. And he is the most accurate quarterback in football. I mean, Aaron Rodgers, I don't know. Aaron Rodgers is not as accurate as he used to be, so I can't say that.
Well, I would say Aaron Rodgers with young quarterbacks, you saw some struggle. Aaron Rodgers is still incredibly accurate. Joe Burrow, I think, gets away with a little bit more because of the three stud wide receivers that he has.
See, I push back, man. The back shoulder throw, yeah, sure, Jamar Chase makes the sideline catch, but he made the throw for the perfect back shoulder. Those are calculated fades, Chris. Don't think those are just some kind of he's just throwing it up in the air. That's not just him throwing up in the air. He's throwing it to a fade spot.
Sure.
He knows that T. Higgins can get that football. Like, it's all accuracy, bro. In rhythm, I'm telling you, bro, if he has his feet set, if he is in rhythm, he is not going to miss. He won't miss. So you have to get him off his spot. And now that he's not getting him off his spot and not just trying to beat Russell Wilson, you know, now that he's staying in the pocket and getting rid of the ball quick and moving in the pocket like that, we're in trouble. Everybody's in trouble. Patrick Mahomes, that's his rival, because that's why they're going to keep playing, right? Because it's, you know, the way he plays and the movement, you know, the media is going to do that. It's a perfect media storm, too, like the pocket passer versus the scrambler. You know, is this the
– Yeah, but Mahomes isn't the scrambler. He changed that about himself.
It don't matter. We don't care. That's the narrative. That's the media. We get the scrambler versus the, you know, Burrow's a more cerebral quarterback. You know, whatever, all the stupid stuff they want to say.
Oh man.
So he is a pocket passer now, which I think that he always should have been, and he's going to keep going with that because he's got a protected offensive line. Offensive lines, I don't know if they're still that good, but he got rid of the ball.
Same guys.
Yeah, he got rid of the ball like 2.4 seconds last year. So that kind of tells you that he changed his game. He's like, I can't do this. I'm not going to survive.
Yeah, he didn't take as many sacks. He wasn't Ryan Tannehill like he was last year year before.
He got rid of that ball quick, man. Quick, decisive decisions. And, you know, keeping his head up, throwing that football, avoiding sacks when he could. Yeah, bro, he's a special year, man. But, you know, he's got to stack up his accolades, and I think he's – I hate being the playoff guy. I feel like I'm like a Colin Cowherd or something. But he's got to play better in the playoffs when they need him. If he wants to beat Patrick Mahomes, like, he doesn't have any touchdowns in the fourth quarter of the playoffs.
Well, dude, that's going to be everybody, though. To beat Patrick Mahomes, you got to be the guy, the dude. Like, Josh Allen had the most incredible game, and he still couldn't beat Patrick Mahomes.
See, but Joe Burrow had the ball. It was 2020. He had the ball.
Yeah.
He had the ball, Chris.
It was 2020. Well, he wasn't the dude. He couldn't do it. He didn't step up to be that guy.
2020, he had the ball and the better team. That's the thing with Patrick Mahomes what I'm getting to, which if you think I'm mad about Justin Herbert. Joe Burrow had the better team on offense and defense. Okay. Now, and I'm not going to say they're equal as quarterbacks, but I don't think Burrow is that far away from Mahomes just by the way he played last year, right? So if you have the better team, like, you got to go win that game at that point.
Well, here's
that'll be my knock. Super Bowl too, bro. Super Bowl.
Sure. Yeah. They had the better team. They should have beat the Rams. That's for sure.
20, I agree 2016, with you. You had the ball, dog.
Well, this is it. This is it. This is the last year. He doesn't have a new deal yet, right?
They don't want to pay. You know they cheap over there, dog.
Listen, this is it. This is where this is the best his roster is ever going to be.
I can't wait for T. Higgins to come to the Raiders. I've been manifesting this.
Yeah, you've been talking about it for 2 years now.
He's coming, bro. He's coming to the Raiders. He is. Watch.
I'm telling you, this is it. This is the last year where Joe gets to have the roster that he gets. This is where we're going to find out about Joe. This is what we're going to find out about Josh. This is what we're going to find out about Justin. Like, these young guys who have been carrying this massive praise and have snuck their way into everybody's top five, top three, their roster is beautiful around them because they don't have to pay their quarterbacks. Now when these guys get paid, we get to find out how real they are at the quarterback position. And that's why Patrick is number one, because now we're seeing it. Last year was the first example of it where he had a roster without an offensive, just stupid, crazy, and Jalen Hurts. There's another example where you got a phenomenal roster around you because you don't have to pay the quarterback. We don't know what type of quarterback he is because that roster is so damn good.
Yeah, you're right. The men
that have proved it, Patrick, Aaron Rodgers, we can't even say Matthew Stafford.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot of quarterbacks can't do that, man. They can't do that.
Lamar paid. So now
Lamar's been dragging a.
Well, they haven't had weapons. This is the most offensive weapon team that he has had, and he just got paid at the same time. So it's going to be very interesting to see what happens here for these young guys as they get their contracts and they got to actually play the quarterback position.
That's why I like Trevor Lawrence. I don't think Trevor Lawrence has the best guys around him. I mean, Christian Kirk.
Well, I mean, this is the best. Like, this is the best year.
I mean, he did pretty good. I mean, like Calvin Ridley. Yeah, he had great years. Calvin Ridley
and Zay Jones and Christian Kirk and Evan Ingram. That's the best that he has ever had.
It's a good core. See, the thing is
behind him, like he's got a good core for the first time.
All right, so let's get into Patrick Mahomes because this is what it is. Because I was really mad about Patrick Mahomes. Like, okay,
QB1.
He is basically he dragged that team to the Super Bowl. That is not a good team. I mean, if you think about it, they were playing seventh rounders at corner, you know, they end up playing better and had some effective plays at a certain point in time, but they gave up 35 points in the Super Bowl, you know. It wasn't like they were like this monster defense that just stopped everybody and, you know, kept everybody from scoring. I mean,
well, it was Chris Jones had his moments, and he showed up in the big time moments when that defense needed somebody to show up.
They
had
good linebackers too. They had really good linebackers.
Yeah, Nick Bolton is. I was mad.
They didn't get after the passer. George Carl. That's what I said. What they could do is that when the
situationally,
Chiefs
when they needed it, the defense showed up, and Patrick Mahomes capitalized every single time that they did.
Yeah, man. It is just, you know, Travis Kelce, that was his main guy, of course. But like the other guys around him, it just wasn't anybody that you felt like could these other quarterbacks. And you mentioned this, Chris. Could they win 10 games with that offense? And that's what I was thinking about. And that's why I was really pissed off. Because I was thinking about the guys behind them that I just ranked, how many of them could win 10 games with that offense and that defense? Like, there's not a lot of them, right?
Well, you also have to think that, you know, Andy Reid is pretty damn good at his job.
Okay. Andy Reid special play. Andy Reid special. So Andy Reid might find a way to get 11, maybe.
Yeah, those guys would get. But could they push through the playoffs the way that Patrick pushed that team through the playoffs on a bum ankle? On a bum ankle, bro. I was in awe of him watching quarterbacks. Absolutely in awe.
Yeah, that ankle was killing him, bro. He was just still balling out there.
That's insane.
Still running, scrambling.
That's insane. And I loved like him talking about against the Niners when they were playing too high, and we, you know, all of a sudden the league figured out Patrick Mahomes because they played too high, and then everybody was playing too high in the league. And then Patrick was like, man, I was watching that safety. And then they tried to, like, bait me into thinking that they're too high. And I was like, oh, you think you're going to bait me? I watch film, too. Over the top. It's like, dude does it all.
Yeah.
The only knock that I will forever have on him is he should be throwing so many more interceptions. He should be throwing so many more interceptions.
Yeah, but I think what happened, I think the year, like, when they started 3-4, we saw that, man. We saw that that's
yeah.
when
they picked up. Yeah, and they weren't being dropped at the at high of a rate as it has been for forever. He still gets lucky, man. He still gets very lucky. I think he's finally gotten better with not being as forceful with the football, and I think that's where Josh Allen really needs a lot of help. But if Patrick has completely dialed that back and he's not going to be as forceful with the football, you know, that the percentages are going to catch up with him if he keeps doing that, and he's going to start throwing more interceptions. And this roster is not, you know, it's even worse than it was last year because they got even younger at wide receiver.
Mm-hmm. They got some young guys over there, but
they got a lot of young guys there.
I don't know. It was just there's just times where, like, you watch it, like, just nobody open. I just felt bad for him, like, but he had a great he has a great offensive line though.
Yes, so he does.
He has time, and I mean, it's really all he needs.
As a decent backfield.
Yeah,
it's an okay backfield. So I mean, he's number one for a reason. So
yeah, man. Yeah, dog. It's gonna be hard. So somebody's gonna have to be either get the super loaded team.
Yep.
You know, because he's always gonna be that guy.
Super loaded and don't make a mistake.
Because even the Chiefs start falling off, he's gonna be that guy, the wild card. Patrick Mahomes going there, win two playoff games, find a way to get that some sorry team to the AFC Championship game.
On a bum ankle.
He's gonna find a way to get some sorry team up there.
Well, week one is gonna be the first example of it. Now that Travis Kelce's got a hyperextended knee,
we'll see, man. Yeah.
And who's he gonna throw the ball to?
Rashee Rice, Sky Moore.
Rookie year two.
Justin Ross. I mean, watch
year two. Year two is basically. Listen, there's a reason why I picked Justin Ross up on my fantasy football teams. Because Patrick Mahomes still got Patrick Mahomes. He's never thrown an interception in an opening game.
No, wow.
He's never thrown an interception in an opening game.
Yeah, because that's Andy Reid too. You know, that's Andy Reid too. So that's a lot of Andy. He's probably gonna throw 5 touchdowns the first game, and they're all gonna be 2 yards.
You're not wrong. The only thing I'm mad about is I don't have that lock bet of Travis Kelce first touchdown.
Yeah. I've seen some people try to call him a system quarterback, which I think is just makes you just not seem very smart at football, but because what they don't understand is that what Andy Reid adjusted is that he is the system.
Yeah.
The system is him.
Yep, correct. Correct.
He's the system, bro.
Yes.
No, they're not doing the West Coast stuff they're doing with Sean Payton over there. No, no, no. The system has changed. The system is what Patrick Mahomes can do. Yep. So
exactly. That's why there's are we starting to catch on to what makes teams successful in the NFL? You create something around your best players. Are we starting to figure that out yet?
Yeah. Yeah. Not really. All right, Chris, last thoughts on anything else?
Last thoughts. I want to know where your Raiders are going to finish this year. Give me a final record. Give me a final position in the AFC West.
5-12.
5-12.
I had to lie on the radio. The dude, because the writer on the radio, he's like a homer. I love the organization guy. He would have called me out. So I had to lie. I say 7-8. But I really – it's going to be 5-12.
5-12. Wow.
Yeah.
Do you know what Vegas has you? What's the over-under Vegas has on you?
6.5.
Oh, Vegas is good. Vegas is so good.
So yeah, 6.5. That's where I think it's – that's where I don't know. I just don't see how they can win a lot of games with Jimmy Garoppolo. And the team's just not good enough to win with Jimmy Garoppolo. That's all.
Okay. All right.
Because if the team is better, then maybe. But the team is just their average football team with a below average quarterback. That's not – you can't win that way.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. You're very right.
Yeah. What about you, Chris? What do you think? What do you?
I'm higher than most on the Green Bay Packers. I see a four-game losing streak in the mid to back half of the season. But I see a team, and I've said this, I think, like 6 or 7 times in the preseason through the last few episodes. There's 8 first-round draft picks on that defense. And I think from the conversations that are being had in these interviews that some of these players are saying, Bakhtiari said something very interesting. It sounds like the way that the secondary is going to play is going to be more aggressive, mm-hmm. which they need that so that the front four can – we're going to be able to get home. I think there's going to be a lot of sacks from that defense. Rashad Gary came back. Like, dude, he might play in week one. Like, he came back so fast. And if we get Rashad Gary back, it's going to be insane. But I have faith in that defense. I think it's a top 5 defense this year.
Okay.
And I think if Jordan Love puts up the same numbers that Aaron Rodgers did last year, which would be overall 22, I think he'll do better than that. But if he puts up the same numbers that Aaron Rodgers did, this is a 10-win team.
Okay.
Right. So I think the Packers win 10. I think they compete for the division against the Lions. I think that they can win the division if the way that Jordan Love, I think that he can play. If he does it and he earns a new contract and the Packers aren't talking about drafting a quarterback next year, then the Packers win the division.
All right. All right, guys. Well, we are out of here. Make sure you guys follow us on Twitter, ALPA_QB1, at the Mark John NFL for me, at King Knows for Chris. Instagram as well, ALPA_QB1, Facebook, A Little Pocket Awareness. And of course, hit the subscribe button on iTunes and hit the download button on Spotify if you're a Spotify guy. All right, so we're out of here. Of course, we'll be back next week. It's football, guys.